Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
This next mystery guest is a three-time Super Bowl champion and a member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. He protected Tom Brady's backside for 11 seasons. And he's not afraid to call in to the Greg Hill Show and debate Ken Laird on reopening the country. It shouldn't be much of a mystery at this point, but go ahead, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
Hello, hello. This is Matthew Charles Light.
Oh, we were looking for Matt Light. Sorry.
We figured that one out. We had enough guesses.
Yeah, we had. You were easy, man. You were easy.
You came up with your own hint, huh?
Well, listen, I mean, I didn't want to make it as easy as, you know, the intro did. I was going to throw out there the fact that in college I caught a 16-yard drag route and ran over Charles Woodson playing
that.
A tight end position. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. I'm just saying. Not that I have it on my office wall and I look at it every day. It's not like that. But, I mean, you know.
I think it was just a way for you to kind of get that fact out so people could realize that you ran over Charles
Woodson. You're an athlete.
You know, which is
good. Hey, listen. Thank you, Christian. Yes, thank you. The operative word there is athlete. One time in my life that I can actually point to a moment in time where I did one thing athletic. You think I'm going to hold on to that? Yes, I am.
Well, Matt, were you recruited as a tight end and then switch?
Man, it's so interesting because if you think about how recruiting happens today, right, and all the information and how much, you know, these scouts and these coaches know about these players coming out of high school, back in the day, it wasn't quite like that. And I think that what happened is that they were watching film on one of our rivals, and it just so happened to be that in that game, they saw this awkward, gangly, you know, somewhat large but not really gifted athlete, you know, make a play. And what happened was in high school, I convinced my quarterback to throw me the ball. I was always on offensive lineman, but I forced the tackle or the tight end, you know, to take my position, and I went out and he threw me the ball, and I caught it and ran it in for a touchdown. So, you know, I think that's the film they saw, and from there it was just like, yeah, we're going to put this kid a tight end, and I failed miserably.
I would say the rest of your career worked out okay.
Yeah.
So we've got to ask you about your friend Drew Brees. He has taken a beating out there, Matt. One, are you surprised, and what is your take in the reaction that he's getting from the question that was asked him the other day on Yahoo Finance?
Well, listen, I mean, I think we should all be surprised, you know, that, you know, people get attacked that way. And you know, look, I think the surprising thing for me is that I know this guy, right? I think any time that you have somebody that's close to you, somebody that you call a friend, somebody that you have, you know, a lot of experience being around, you know what kind of person they are. I mean, you're talking about a guy that just donated $5 million out of his pocket. You know, not through a foundation, not through, you know, some big time sponsor, you know, saying that it was him, but his money to, you know, help out the people that have been affected by COVID-19 and everything that's going on. I mean, he's just such a great person. As a matter of fact, I would say that he's probably one of the top, if not the top, you know, athletes in the country. Who does things for people outside the game, right? And there's a lot of people that do that. There are a lot of great athletes that help out in a lot of ways. But, you know, Drew Brees, I would put him at the top of the list of all the people I've ever been around, all the people I've ever played with. So, yeah, I'm surprised that, you know, that these things have come out and that people have taken the tone that they took with him.
Well, it's interesting because I know that. You know that. You play with him and everyone who even, you know, is talking about him, yet he just got himself caught up in a real sensitive emotional time. And I just feel like, you know, he's made, I don't know what, two apologies now. And some people are accepting the apologies and some people aren't. I just feel like it's really unfair to paint this guy into a corner and say that, you know, now we know what Drew Brees is all about. That to me is just so unfair and just not who he is.
Well, and listen, I think it's a great time to have awesome, awesome, awesome conversations with the people in your family, whether that's your kids or your grandson or your nephew or whoever it is. It's such a great opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Before we all go rush to judgment, and I've had this conversation before this time period, and I'm sure I'll have it again after, but before we all go rushing to judgment, let's just hit the pause button for a minute and let's really think about the words we're using, how we're talking about other people, and the real message that our words send, because words do matter, right? I mean, you know, what we say has an effect. And I think it's really been put on full display here with a guy who, you know, he has worked really hard to earn the respect that he's been given, right? And to have it kind of washed away in a blink of an eye, and everything that is real about him, everything that his body of work says that he is, has been forgotten. I mean, we can't let that happen. And so I think that's a great conversation to have right now.
We're talking to Matt Light. Matt, you know, judging by that, we were talking a couple days before that. Tiger Woods, he got shredded for a tweet that he put out there. Given, you know, the climate out there right now, would you be more apprehensive to speak out as a player?
Well, I think because of how polarizing the social media channels are and how easy it is for anyone with any background at any time to say anything about anyone, we have to all be very careful. And, you know, I don't know what the crystal ball says about how you address certain things, but I think the flip side of that is that we need to be having real conversations more than ever. So you're kind of, you know, it's kind of saying it both ways. Like, do you have to be really careful? Yes, you have to be really careful about what you say. But on the other hand, this is the time we need to be having real conversation, not social media feeds and one hit wonders, but real conversation.
Yeah, we're not resolving anything. We're dealing with, you know, symbolism. We're not dealing with police reform. We're not dealing with civil rights violations. So I keep on hearing people say we have to have that dialogue, and it has to become uncomfortable, Matt. And then when it becomes uncomfortable, there's the cancel culture. We want to pull the plug on that individual, which is what they're doing with Drew Brees. Wouldn't it have made far more sense, instead of having Brees have to apologize once in writing and once, with video, to have a sit-down session with people so that we could articulate our points across the table? Because different people view things differently.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's what, if you listen to everybody, right? If you had to distill it down into one message, isn't that message supposed to be about understanding and compassion and
yes,
empathy and love? And the only way to have that happen, right? The only way to mend something, the only way to fix something is to put all your heart and your soul and your time and your energy into it. And none of that goes in line with social media, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, because those things are the absolute void of all of those things that are real, that actually move the needle in the right direction.
Dangerous.
Matt, have you talked to Drew at all in the last 48 hours? Curious.
You know, I left him a message, man. I mean, I think it's important that, you know, anytime you go through anything difficult, that, you know, the people that are around you that can offer support do that. And, you know, this is a tough time. I mean, look, I know one thing about Drew Brees. He wants to have a great season. He wants to be able to go into that locker room and do what he has to do and not deal with something like this, right? I mean, no player wants to, you know, have to have something like this happen to him. And, you know, I just hope that by the time we get to that point, that his focus can go back to doing what he does, because what he does is pretty darn good on the football field. And the things that he is able and been afforded to do because of his success on the field speak even bigger volumes about the kind of person that he is. So I'm hopeful that he can get back to business as usual.
All right, we're talking to Matt Light. Matt, I heard you call the morning show to one talk to Mr. Ken Laird, and I absolutely loved it. So I was curious, because this past week or so, we forgot that there was a pandemic. We've talked about it before with people out in the streets. How concerned are you that this might slow the reopening, that we might try to shut this thing down? Just your thoughts, because I loved it going at it with Ken.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just such a strange point in time, right? I mean, we've all been through stuff. Everybody's got their battles, and you know, I think that this entire pandemic, and I hate even using the word, has taught me a lot about, you know, how to look at certain things and how to use, you know, real common sense and real wisdom. And, you know, I'll tell you, if there was ever a time where you started thinking about the people that are leading, right, and or the lack of leadership, it's now. And we need to have people that really have our best interest at heart. And the way that we do that is to stand up and say what needs to be said as it relates to things like this pandemic. And we need more people doing it. We need the people that are, you know, the business leaders in this area, the restaurant owners, the construction people that get up and work hard every single day that have been massively affected by the the people that just that were in a position to lead that chose not to lead, that they chose to follow. See, it's easy to follow. We need leaders that are going to do the hard things and do the tough things. And if we would have had that, I think the impact of what we've all been going through with which has been a very awkward time, but we've learned a lot about it, and we could have done it a lot better, and we need to do it better next time.
So, Matt, right now we've got a scientific experiment that is actually going on, because we know the governor here and other governors, many of them in blue states, decided that they were going to shut things down, tell us to stay at home. And yet, when the protesters came out in the street, they made an exception. So the governors are either going to be wrong or wrong. Because if in the next 7 to 14 days we have a spike in those numbers, then they will be wrong to allow the protesters in. If we don't have a spike in the next 7 to 14 days, they were going to be wrong keeping us home. Correct? This is a scientific experiment.
It really is. It's happening right before us. But look, we've seen the model, right? I mean, there are a lot of other states that, you know, turn the lights back on. They put the power back to the people. They allowed people to make decisions for themselves, right? I think that's the biggest thing you take from this. Don't just drink the Kool-Aid, right? Listen to the real leaders that stood up and said, hey, you know what? We educated our people. We let them know about what is important and what we think is going to be the best way to approach this. And then we let them lead their own lives, because we know they're going to make good decisions, and we know that they're smart people, and they don't need us holding their hand through every part of their life. So, yeah, man, this is interesting times. But look, the way to change it is to talk about it, have a real discussion, and then hold those accountable that made these decisions. Remember, we didn't just shut down Massachusetts in the Northeast because we wanted to. We were forced to. And that means something. I mean, you can't forget that when it comes time to vote.
All right, Matt, so you're always into something. You're always raising money. You're always putting on benefits. You're always doing something for other people. Tell me about this new deal you got. It's called Game Day Tampa Bay. What is that all about?
Well, listen, if you go to GameDayTampa.com, there's an opportunity to go down and see two great quarterbacks. One we've already talked about in Drew Brees when he takes on, you know, the GOAT down in Tampa. And I thought, man, you know what? These are two guys that I played for. I mean, look, you're talking about the luckiest left tackle in the history of the game. I could have sucked on every play. And those two quarterbacks that I had in college and then in New England, they make you look good every time. And they're going to be facing off against each other in a big game on November 8th. We've got your all expense paid trip to go down to Tampa, airfare, hotel, hanging out with a Buccaneer legend and Mike Allstott. We're going to go to the game. And then after the game, you're going to get to meet not just Brady and Breeze, but also Gronk. We're going to have an awesome party. My wife, wow, Susie, and I will host the winners. And for as little as $10, man, $10. If you don't win, you're supporting the Light Foundation, our work. We're actually opening up camp out there at Chenoweth Trails, our big facility in Ohio, where we bring in kids from all over the country. We're excited to be doing that as well. So you know what? If you don't win, you're helping us. But if you do win, I mean, I guess once in a lifetime, it's just one of those packages that everybody would really enjoy, especially if you're a football fan, because this is the year for sports, man, and especially the NFL. If you want to see what the NFL is like when Brady goes down to Tampa and the differences there and how Bill Belichick gets his team to reconfigure and get back out there and do what they do, I mean, this is a case study in time like no other.
I was going to say, you couldn't pick a better game? I mean, come on. Brady, Gronk, Drew Brees.
So it's game day, yeah. Tampa.com.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. And we love doing these. And we love hosting the winners. And we'll have a lot of fun with this. We're going to be drawing the winner on June 15th. And we'll see him down in Tampa.
Matt, right. Great talking to you. And you were easy. We got you very quickly.
Thanks, Matt.
You were easy, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Right. Matt Light, our mystery guest today on the Harbor One Hotline.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah. So we've got to ask you about your friend Drew Brees.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that just donated $5 million out of his pocket, not through a foundation, not through, you know, some big-time sponsor saying that it was him, but his money to, you know, help out the people that have been affected by COVID-19 and everything that's going on. I mean, he's just such a great person. You know, Drew Brees, I would put him at the top of the list of all the people I've ever been around, all the people I've ever played with. So, yeah, I'm surprised that, you know, that these things have come out and that people have taken the tone that they took with him.
That's Matt Light, and again, I think the timing is the thing that really hurts Drew Brees. People are really emotional with what has happened with George Floyd out in Minneapolis, and so the timing was terrible. And of course, the question that was asked had to do with taking a knee, and so that brings up that symbolism all over again. Timing can be everything, and that's why Donald Trump's timing right now is awful. Awful, awful, awful. Let me read a tweet that was just released moments ago. I am a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's truly one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent American flag. Old Glory is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. He follows it up with, we should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute or a hand on heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. And then in all uppercase capitals, no kneeling, exclamation point. Bad timing. You don't do this now. Bad timing.
What? This may be it.
Bad timing.
This may be it. This may be the one that finally gets them. I'm not kidding. This may be it. Because to me, this, I mean, talk about gasoline on a fire. That's not even a good enough example. I mean, geez, I don't know. What's worse than that?
We had Spicer on yesterday, and I was curious to see if there is kneeling, if he would change his approach, you know, Donald Trump. And obviously by
you got your answer.
I think we got our answer. I mean, he didn't wait till, you know, September to voice his opinion.
That's what he should have done.
You talk about timing. Like, how many people, and this is kind of the response that Drew Brees, I think, took a lot of heat for. And they're looking at Donald Trump saying, okay, you don't get it either. You know what I mean? As far as kneeling, what kneeling represents. So this is just, like you said, bad timing. Yeah. No, it's typical, though.
Listen, I didn't think he was going to change his mind on the kneeling situation. And I thought Sean Spicer brought some interesting stuff up yesterday, that he looks at everything of playing for his base. And, you know, it's hard to argue with him internally in the White House, because he's been right about all of this with his base. But when it comes to this, it's a volatile issue. We've already said that what Drew Brees did was, again, it was bad timing. If he said this and he was asked the question a month from now, 2 months from now, it probably would go unnoticed. So all Trump had to do is wait this thing out right now.
He wasn't asked the question.
He's volunteering it.
Yeah, he could
show support for Drew Brees without actually saying no kneeling. Deal with it in August. Deal with it in September.
I feel like this is the difference this year as opposed to whenever, what was it, 2 years ago?
Three years ago.
Wow. So it's been 3 years.
2017.
Yeah, so the difference this year is that is, I think that there is a new resolve, a new and improved resolve, determination, perseverance, where the players will not only just demand to be allowed to protest or demonstrate, but they will demand and require their coaches and other players to do the same. I think there will be a flat-out revolt if they don't get what they want. That's my personal feeling. And they can look back to 3 years ago and say, you know what, damn it, we allowed ourselves to be convinced that, you know, a couple million dollars here, a coalition here, a sit-down with Cadell there was good enough. Because what they really wanted to do was just shut us up. They wanted just to just pacify us so they could get through the season and not lose any money. Well, it worked. They did pretty much shut up.
Yeah.
Nobody was really even paying attention to it. Nobody was kneeling anymore. The season had started, and then that was it.
Well, the other thing, too, is, I think where we are right now, you look back 3-4 years ago, and I think people look at it differently. You know, that video of George Floyd, I mean, what's gone on here in the last week, I think they would look at it differently. If you polled all Americans, no, not just 500 people, you know, back in 2017, how'd you feel about kneeling? I don't know what that percentage would be. Think it would be 60-70% against it? I don't know what. Let's just.
I think it was closer than that.
50-50. Let's just call it 50-50, okay? Right. Half the country didn't mind it. Half the country was offended.
It's kind of how it is every day.
All right. If it happens in September, do you think it would be the same percentage, given what the country's been through in the last week? Do you think it would still be 50-50? Or do you think there'd be more understanding?
I don't know. If it was today, and that's what we're looking at, and you're looking at Drew Brees, it was 2 days ago, and that's why you're getting the reaction. Trump making that comment today on Twitter is today. I think it might be different in September. Yes.
I think there'll be more understanding. So I think
that, by September,
so
I'm not sure about that.
Rather than 50-50 and in support of Trump sitting there saying, you got, you know, half the country like, good for you, you're right, stand up for the flag. I think he's lost some of the people in support of that.
So here's the biggest problem I have, though, with all of this, and I think I've been repetitive with it, and that is we're talking about something that's symbolic, okay? And then one side is sitting there going, we need to show that there's something wrong with America. And then you got another group is sitting there going, you kidding me? I mean, there's problems with America, but America's great, and we need to support the flag, and we need to support the military, and yada, yada, yada. And yet, we're looking at problems with police brutality. We're looking at civil rights violations, and none of that stuff's being solved. None of that stuff's being addressed. Now, we just heard about Kraft giving money. We just heard about Michael Jordan. By the way, the NFL has added another $20 million. I mentioned Dak Prescott earlier giving $1 million. That's where you're going to solve something.
Yeah.
The education, the training of police, police reform. That's where you're going to do something. This whole idea of whether somebody takes a knee or not is a bunch of bull. Well, see,
now you go back to him sitting there talking about peaceful protests and going after the people at night, the criminals at night, and the looting and the rioting, and saying peaceful protests are good. And then you're busting up peaceful protests so you can go get a photo op.
Right.
And now you're looking at people saying, well, Colin Kaepernick dropped a knee during the anthem as a peaceful protest.
Right.
So you could talk about how you're cool with peaceful protests, but again, like Drew Brees said, your actions, you know, they're not showing it. I think a lot of people, but he can't help himself.
No, and it is, it's just amazing when you think about just how many guys actually kneeled last 3 years ago. There wasn't a lot of guys that were kneeling. I mean, maybe they wanted to, but then the team got together and said, this is what we're doing.
More say week one after Kaepernick did it, or the weeks following, and as the season went on, less and less, right?
Yeah, and that's why I think the change is going to be. I think the change will come where, okay, so 3 years ago, we all wanted to kneel, but we decided the team was more important. So we didn't want to be part of the problem. We wanted to figure it out because we knew there was a lot of different personalities in the room, and you can't keep everybody healthy. So we decided on a compromise. And I would say that's not going to happen this year.
Well, they're going to do it. They're going to do it because they just want to stick it to Trump now. And I think that's the point that Trump is missing in all of this. There was no reason for him to do this right now.
I think you're falling into his trap. Trump's trap. If I'm a player, he's being antagonistic on purpose.
Yes.
He's poking you on purpose.
Right.
Don't respond to him.
Oh, they're going to
respond. Don't give him. He wants you to kneel. That's what he wants.
Yes.
So, and that is, to me, now I feel like I'm being used. So, and that's what I think the players need to understand, that it can't be about him in particular, because it's not about Trump. There was this problem before Trump was president. They had this problem was when Obama was the president.
Correct.
When Bush was the president, when Clinton was the president. So the Trump shoehorns his way into the conversation and he creates attention with it. I would say don't let him do it, because if it wasn't about Obama, then why is it about Trump?
Well, I do think, and again, we go back to what Sean Spicer said yesterday, and he was working side by side, so he would have a better idea than anybody. And he was talking about, you know, he observes polls. He observes stuff that's going on. And I'll give you it as an example the last couple of days, because Lou just talked about what he did about clearing everybody out and then walking over to St. John's Church with the Bible in his hand, which seemed a little bit strange. I'm not sure he's an ongoing churchgoer on a regular basis. But then I looked at that night, they had the polls out. And the polls were talking about what people wanted. Did they want the protest? Did they want law and order? A majority of the people wanted law and order. Yeah. Now, you don't necessarily see that, and it was high. It was like even Democrats was a high number, but the overall figure was like 60-some-odd percent, which is a high number, want law and order. And what did he do? He came out and kept on saying, I believe in law and order. And he did it with Sean Spicer in that interview the other night, because he was saying, you know, why don't you comfort and do some of that like you've done, like I've seen you do inside the White House? And he said, I'm for law and order. He's doing that because the polls are telling him that's where the people are. And I think that's how he's governing right now. And I think that's why you're right, Christian. I think he's baiting these players right now because he thinks it is a winning argument for him.
To me,
he's not listening to the media. You know,
it's so obvious to know what he's doing. Isn't it like so? Unprovoked, he tweets that out. Unprovoked, without anybody asking him a question about it, he just says, "Oh, opportunity. Let me get him going. Yep. Let me get them pissed off so I can get my." To me, it's once you realize he's using you, don't react. That because I mean, again, this is the same problem. Trump gets involved, and then it just you lose focus of what it's about. Even with Drew Brees,
you think
it's
guys
not even
gonna
about
decide not to kneel because they don't want to give him what he wants.
I'll give you this, Adrian. Adrian Peterson, guys, Redskins running back, told a group of reporters that he plans on kneeling during the anthem this season. We're all getting ready to take a knee together. I think Christian nailed it though. I think Trump is almost baiting them in because he thinks in the end this is a winning argument for him at the polls.
Well, it might. It might be for him. I don't know. But I don't think the players are going to sit there and say, guys, I know we're planning on kneeling, but we're giving him what he wants. Let's not do it. We're way past that. We are way past that, if you ask me. By the way, I saw this tweet, Mike Giardi, a few minutes ago. He said, I'm told the Patriots had open conversations about recent events. In fact, sacrificing football for more important topics that have impacted so many of its players. Bill Belichick was a part. And I was told by one player, quote, we couldn't do this without his leadership. I was also told some of the conversations about African-American players had experienced in their lifetimes were eye-opening to all corners of the locker room. And though done virtually, the belief, at least to those I talked to, were that they had a great impact. So the Patriots use kind of like a virtual meeting with her entire team. And they've apparently discussed it, whether, I don't know if it was today. He tweeted that about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, the coaching staff can go in there today, right?
Yeah. And Bill was part of it with the team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so they're all addressing it.
So yeah, I think it is I think you're gonna see a different version of the NFL, guys. That is what you're gonna see. And what the players are doing now is what you see on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, commercials, a new resolve to make sure that not only they are heard, but the coaches support their voice. Without doubt, without questions, you guys know it now. It's almost like, hey, we were right. We were right, and we fought, and we, you know, negotiated, and, you know, we squabbled, and blah, 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 blah. I don't think you'll see any of that anymore, but I do think the issue will be up for debate again because Trump will shoehorn his way into it. I just wish the players would figure out a way not to let it happen. I wish they would.
I just don't. Again, though, I think all it does is it rankles people on both sides, and it's not solving the problem. The problem they're telling us right now is police brutality. Now, the numbers are down of unarmed blacks who have been shot and killed by policemen, but that's irrelevant. It's still an issue out there. And are we solving that issue? No. We're going to sit and bitch and piss and moan about whether somebody should take a knee or not. Symbolism, well, as opposed to actually doing something
all I'm
constructive.
Saying is people that plan on kneeling don't give a rat's ass what Donald Trump says.
Right.
He's the one to, what's it, get those son of a bitches off the field?
He did, and that stoked him up.
Christian, the point you brought up earlier, how many guys actually did kneel. I don't know if you heard, Charles Barkley, in part of this discussion he had yesterday with it, he talked about, you know, how many people actually were kneeling last year.
Less than 1% of the brothers kneel for the anthem. We didn't say, oh, you don't get it. So all of a sudden, Drew Brees says, he said, I'm going to respect the anthem. Oh, he's racist. He's a bad guy. We didn't say the same BS about all the other brothers who stood up for the anthem. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Hey, I'm not going to defend Drew Brees, but I'm not going to call him a racist because he stands for the national anthem.
I mean, that wasn't last year, obviously, 2017. So Charles is kind of calling out those people that didn't kneel back then.
I love Charles.
Who were pissed at Brees for talking about
get that son of a bitch off the field.
I think it was different. You know, I think things changed. You know, I remember yesterday, Glenn, you quoted Martellus Bennett saying, you know, where were you guys last, you know, 3 years ago when trying to support Caps, and now everyone's coming out too late. And I think that's the wrong attitude. It's just a wrong attitude. I mean, 3 years ago, things do change. Opinions do change. So if you're sitting there and you're looking at maybe kneeling on the field or maybe how they approach it this year differently than they did 3 years ago, I don't think you should say, you were nowhere to be found 3 years ago, go screw.
I'm just amazed.
So I think you'll see it more.
I'm just amazed we're going to go through all of this all over again. So here's what's going to happen. Roger Goodell has already established rules that have been established on what you can do and what you can't do with the
Guess
anthem.
What?
And if you're going to disrespect it, you have to stay in the locker room. So is Roger going to stand by those rules? Is he going to lock horns with the president right now? And remember, the league took a hit when it came to television ratings a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when all of that was going on, because the Trumpster to the right were staying away from the NFL.
Well, what do you guys think of Jim Brown? You like Jim Brown?
Yeah, all-time great.
Well, we know what Jim Brown's history has been.
Hold on. What do you think of him as an activist? He's been an activist for a long time. Civil rights activist. Yeah. I mean, he's been part of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, you name it. He's been there, right?
Yep.
You remember what he said back when this all started about he would never kneel for
the flag? He said he wouldn't take it, and he got a lot of heat. If you remember when he visited the White House, he got a lot of heat when he visited Trump in the White House.
You think it'll change now for him?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it will.
I don't know.
I think it will.
I think a lot of the old-timers look at it much differently than the younger players today, Christian. I think they have because James, in credit to Jim Brown, over the years, he has been one of those guys that has come out and been very vocal. So it's not like he's a guy that some conservative right winger that, you know, has not been open.
I don't know about issues. I think again, Adrian Peterson, all the young players, all the stars. Now, I mean, they're all coming out. They're all unified, and that was the difference last time. Last time, nope, they were not unified. Not only were they not unified individually as teams, but they collectively as a league, they were not.
Can I say
this one? I think they're organized. I think they're unified. I think they have a structure, and I think they all kind of buy in this is from beginning to end.
And it's all
this is not a one-time thing.
And it's all misdirected. It's misdirected by the people that are doing it. It's misdirected by Trump and the way he's trying to fight it. It's all misdirected. It's not solving the problem. And that's what we're doing right now. We're gonna have a little symbolism, and this is what we're gonna do.
I wouldn't call it misdirected. So you think the people that are kneeling, it's misdirected?
Yeah, because you're not solving the problem. What you're doing is you're creating another image of you're going to fight people with the flag. Many of those people that probably agree that police brutality, especially to young black men, may be an issue. Okay, we're not solving the problems. What we're doing is we're sitting here worried about somebody taking a knee.
That's what silent protests are about. They get attention, right?
In a football game.
Yeah, it's getting attention.
Okay, and then what happens when the ratings go down? And the commissioner suddenly says, no, we're not going to do this anymore because it's a workplace. It's a workplace environment. It's not in your free time. It's not on away from your office. I mean, guys, how does it accomplish anything?
Well,
how does it solve police brutality?
I'm curious on Jim Brown because this is what he said in 2018. He said, I'll never kneel and I will always respect the flag. I'm not going to denigrate my flag. And I'm going to stand for the national anthem. I'm fighting with all my strength to make it a better country. But I don't think that's the issue. Because what's the top side? Are you not going to stand up? This is our country, man. That was Jim Brown back in 2018.
Well, they're going to say,
he's
an
extremely
old man,
liberal guy, too, if you look at his history.
But he's also going, he's the older generation, even though he's done a lot, the younger generation is more woke. And he's not woke.
He's been pretty woke.
If he was woke, he would be getting. I'm sure he thinks he is. But with this, do you think the younger generation, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Deshaun Watsons, have anything remotely in common with Jim Brown?
They'll say, "I respect you, but you're wrong."
Yeah, you're so. outdated and old, dude. Right. The times have changed.
Well, you can call them outdated and old, but you know what? We can go back to Ferguson. We can go back to Baltimore. The same situation, and you still haven't solved the problem.
Okay,
and so
but
you're
that's
sitting
different.
There worrying. No,
that
it isn't.
Is yeah,
you're concerned
it is, because,
about whether somebody can take a knee in a football game.
I'm on your side with that, but as far as that, it's happened before and it hasn't been fixed. I get that part, but the reality is they don't care anymore. They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care in solving the problem? Is that what you're telling me?
Players
about solving the problem.
I would just want you to be along with me. I would want you to support me. Unconditionally, I would want you to support me. Because now you have more proof. So I was right the first time. Unconditionally support me. Yeah, but I can't. I don't want that.
So for all the good in trying to get people to all think that way, that we need to do something about this, because what happened in Minneapolis was an atrocity, that we're not going to worry about that anymore. So George Floyd, the memory, sorry, we're moving away from that. Now we're worried about taking a knee instead of trying to be concerned and seeing if we can prevent the incident that happened with George Floyd from ever happening again. All right, we get to your phone calls and your reaction as well. President has spoken. Why at this time? I have no idea. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, back here in OMF, let's get your reaction. 617-779-7937. The president has now spoken. Probably not a good time to do it, but he did it anyway. We get to your reaction. Here's Tom in a car. Hello, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Tom.
What's up?
I want to comment on Christian's talk about James Brown. You think Patrick Mahomes knows more about racism in this country than James Brown? I mean, he grew up in the 40s and 50s, and they were lynching people in the South. In the 60s, they couldn't get on the bus. What are you thinking?
No, that's you're thinking of not what I'm thinking. What my point is that there's a different way guys want to demonstrate. And Jim Brown, being an older guy, stuck in his ways, doesn't recognize that the flag doesn't mean anything to them. And even if it did, the anger and outrage that exists because of what's happening counteracts that, but Jim Brown won't allow it. That is my point. And for everything he's done, for everything he's done and he's been through, the younger generation is saying, "We get it, but this is what we need to do now." And he's saying,
"No." Is that a smart thing? Okay.
He'll fight for social justice. He'll be in front of every civil rights, demonstration. Back in the day, but now when they want to do it differently, then he says no. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm just trying to explain to you. You know, it didn't help in Watts in the 60s, and it's not going to help Luton in Chicago today. I don't understand.
I don't think looting does anything. I don't bring in looting. Looting doesn't. It's not part of my conversation. Looting doesn't help anything.
No,
it doesn't.
No, it is just the opposite. It pisses off a lot of other people who might be inclined to sit and listen to the message, and they're sitting there going, oh, the looting. And again, I think the looting, a lot of it, is totally separate from the protesters.
I think a lot of these guys in the league right now look at Jim Brown and say, Jim, we respect you, but it's time to pass the baton. It's time to do things differently.
I think Jim Brown, as this last caller said, has been through a little bit more than some of these other guys.
I understand.
These guys in the league right now
aren't about looting and rioting. They're more about conversation and trying to do something about it.
Well, they're into symbolism right now. Doing something about it, it would be more significant. Dave is in a car. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Dave.
Just a couple of things. Number one, I mean, if you're Goodell, I mean, how about just not playing the anthem? Just avoid the whole thing, right?
Then he loses. He can't win. Well, wait a minute, but he loses bigger if he does that. So he cancels the entire anthem. Well, you've got to have people that are going to sit there and they still want to protest the anthem. And then you're going to have people that want the anthem who are going to sit there and say, you took away our anthem in this country?
No. Here's what they're going to do. You brought up a good point, but it's just off a little bit. They're still going to play the anthem, but the players are not coming out while the anthem is being played.
That's right. That's what's going to happen.
And for the record,
that's going to be a problem.
And that's a boss move. Fans. You're right. You're right. That's a boss move. You're right. That's a boss move because that's going to be a problem.
Yep.
But I would say you can go back to back in my day when we never came out for the anthem. We waited till the anthem to be played, and then we ran out. But it'll be obvious why he's doing it,
and he'll get punished
for it. And
I don't think Roger Goodell can win.
No, not this one.
One more quick thing, guys. What do you think about Belichick maybe trying to get get Drew Brees over here? Maybe you get a trade. They'll try to get rid of his contract. They don't want him. We'll take him.
You quit. Keep wishing on that one. We'll see what happens. Here's Joe in a car. Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Good, Joe.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So,
you got it.
The biggest thing I wanted to tell you was I called the other day because and I got in an argument with your producer about how I thought kneeling during the national anthem was a disgrace. I had an uncle who was killed in World War II and is buried in France. But rather than bottling that anger, I went home that night and I talked to some people that I thought were, you know, good influences on me.
Okay.
And my original point was that I thought that my uncle died defending that flag and that anthem. But I've come to realize that my uncle died and fought was for Kaepernick's right to kneel during that anthem.
Right.
And I even though I wish he wouldn't, I get it now.
See, that's kind of the opinion I think a lot of people are looking for. You probably wouldn't do it, right? I'm guessing you wouldn't kneel during the anthem because it means something to you. But getting what it means to them is the important part.
Yeah, but the problem Goodell has is that he has people who are totally split on this. And as Christian said, that's what they tried to do last year. They changed the rules, and if you were going to go out there and you were not going to stand for the flag, you would have to go in the locker room. Now, here's going to be an interesting one because you're going to see it play out in about a month from now, and that is the NBA. The NBA has a strict rule with this. There are going to be no fans in the stands. They're going to be playing down in Orlando. So what does Adam Silver do? Does he play the anthem? Because, again, you're dealing with some of the fans of the NBA. Who knows what that number is? Want to hear the anthem? There are a lot that don't want to hear the anthem, and many want to hear the players respond to it. NBA players never took a knee.
No, what we see in the NBA is T-shirts during warm-up, right?
Yeah.
I can't breathe. Bet you a lot of teams would be warming up with those T-shirts. The NBA. They wear their T-shirts for warm-ups.
Okay, well, why don't they do it during the anthem? Because the league doesn't allow them. Their bosses tell them they can't.
Right.
That was then. Now, I would say Adam Silver, being a very woke commissioner, I would say that he will loosen or just turn a blind eye when it comes to that rule. What do you think? I mean, he's pretty progressive as far as commissioners go, and he's really – And the players love him. So I could easily see, you know, the star players going to Adam Silver and say, listen, we need to change this rule.
The problem I have with all of this stuff is you can easily be able to have a protest, as you said, wearing the shirts or actually talking during the course of the week where each one of these players have a forum. They have a place to broadcast out their views. All of that stuff is acceptable. The biggest problem I had with Kaepernick was he never talked about any of this stuff. He would go out there and he would sit or he would go down on one knee, but during the course of the week, he wouldn't talk about it. So he became almost the poster child of it, but we never heard him speak about it. Very rarely.
Right. And we had the caller earlier today, you know, we brought up like the socks, the pig socks. But the Castro shirt in Miami, I think, you know, he lost some people there.
Well, it's just being tone deaf right there.
Well, it was just like, this is what your cause is, and yet you're wearing a Fidel Castro jersey while playing in Miami.
Well, he did more than that. He talked about the great things that Castro was doing. That was the one time he did speak, and you said to yourself, oh, my God.
Right.
What are you talking about?
So Cuban Americans? You don't care about them?
You talk about suppressed society. Woo. Lou is from New Hampshire. Hello,
hey,
Lou.
From Framingham.
Good afternoon, gents.
Hey, Lou.
Just to weigh in on this business with Drew Brees, which I think is an absolute travesty, because it's really not even about what the issue is about anymore. It's about whether or not everybody can be forced to capitulate to what one group wants. There was nothing wrong with what Drew Brees said, and he had a right to his opinion. I'm a vet, too. I feel exactly the way that he did. And I'm not taking a knee for anybody during the national anthem. If you want to stand on your head, I fought for the right that you can stand on your head, okay? Now, players on the field, I'm sorry, but right now, under the law, they don't have the trying to force. But they're turning on each other. I can't imagine there's anybody in the NFL that thinks that Drew Brees is some horrible racist. I mean, that is so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. But
I don't think anybody's called him a racist, though. I mean, they have not given him the luxury of looking at his resume and everything he has done in the community. I'll give you that. Nobody's mm-hmm. calling him a racist. They're calling him insensitive because he answered a question about, you know, defending the right to stand during the anthem as opposed to sitting there and addressing the George Floyd murder.
Yep. But guess what? Here's the other side of that. What this is saying is if you don't capitulate to my way of thinking, is exactly what these people have been saying for years that was being forced on them. It seems they've lost sight of that. And here's my big fear from it. This is going to cause such a blowback, which really doesn't need to happen, because that's not going to help anybody. But I lived through in this country the OJ trial, and believe me, that can happen again. There's going to be
what can happen again.
So can a really popular running back be accused of murder? What are we talking about?
Well, there were people on that jury who afterwards came out and said openly, we weren't going to convict him no matter what. Okay, well, they were honest about that.
Okay, so you're saying that could happen?
And
in
that
the,
can happen
in the
again.
Case?
And I don't want to see these cops get off. That would be ridiculous.
That you're going to have people on the jury that are going to let this guy off? I'm not sure that's going to happen. I will say this. I think it's going to be very difficult to find jurors for this trial. So how are you going to find somebody that doesn't know about the case?
I'm always amazed by that. High profile cases. Right?
Yeah.
How
do
you
find somebody?
Jury for that? Like, yeah. How'd you find a jury for OJ? Nobody knew? You know anything about this? No.
You ever heard? Juice? Have you ever seen the movie The Naked Gun?
Right.
Naked Gun 2.5. Have you ever rented a car from Hertz? No, yeah. You've never rented a car from Hertz. All right. Well, then, okay, you could be a juror.
All right, boys, we got another hour to go. We're going to go 30 minutes commercial free, and we're only going to go away for like a minute. That is it right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.